Hello. In today's message, we are looking at a passage in which the Lord Jesus comes under attack by the Pharisees for Sabbath observance. The Bible tells us to call the Sabbath a delight, but by Jesus' day, the Pharisees had turned it into a burden and were using it as a weapon against him. Hear now God's holy word. I'm reading today from the end of Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, down through chapter 3, verse 6. And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need, and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his richest blessings to our reading, hearing, and understanding of it this day. As Christians, we believe that the Lord's Day is also the Christian Sabbath, that we are to keep it and we are to consider it to be a delight, as we're told in Scripture. Our own Westminster standards that we adhere to as Presbyterians address worship and address the Sabbath day. In Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, we read this in paragraph 8. "This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy." Notice that last phrase, necessity and mercy, is something that we believe is proper to be done. It's called a duty that we can do on the Sabbath day. And we see in the passage before us from Mark that the Lord Jesus Christ shows us how, first of all, works of necessity may be done on the Lord's day, and then in chapter 3, a work of mercy may be done on the Lord's day. And so this is scriptural that we're looking at. We're understanding how Jesus tells us about these things. Notice that the passage opens with Jesus Christ and his disciples walking through a grain field on the Sabbath day. And as they walk along, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain and began to eat them. Now, this is a confrontation that is provoked by the Pharisees as they see this happen, and they target Jesus for his actions in allowing his disciples to do what they consider to be very wrong on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were known for their strict view of the Sabbath, but in reality, their strict view was actually a perversion of what the day was intended to be. In order not to overstep the teaching of the Holy Scriptures, what the Pharisees had done is over time they had hedged in the law regarding the Sabbath day with many rules and regulations that were man-made. And they enforced those rules and regulations with the idea that by enforcing those, they would prevent someone from violating the Sabbath. For example, they spoke of a Sabbath day's journey. The Sabbath day's journey was 1,999 steps. If you made 2,000 steps away from your home, you violated the Sabbath and you came under condemnation from the Pharisees. And so they had come up with this arbitrary number as to how far you could travel on the Sabbath day. But they also came up with a way in which you could totally ignore this arbitrary number. And so what we find is that often a person who wanted to make a long trip on the Sabbath day would, the day before, go from his home and every 1,999 steps leave something of his own in a little pile there, and that could be considered a home. And so he would travel from one home to the next home and into a third home and a fourth home and however long it took to make that long trip, and in his own conscience think that he was not violating a Sabbath day's journey by such machinations. We know, of course, that this is totally fabricated. Another prohibition that they had to do with harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Now, this one comes more closely from the Scriptures. It has some biblical basis because we read in Deuteronomy chapter 23, "When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain." Now, this specifically addresses what's going on with Jesus and the disciples. They're using their hands, they're not using a sickle, and so technically it is not harvesting. However, it's on the Sabbath day. And in Exodus 34, we read, "You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during plowing time and harvest you shall rest." And so the Pharisees combined these ideas together, and they considered that even using your hand to pluck grain in a field on the Sabbath day was harvesting, even if you're not using any other implement. And so they see this as a reason to attack the Lord Jesus, a reason to attack His disciples, and they target Him because of their understanding and of their interpretation of this law. They accuse Him in the question that they ask Him. They ask Him why His disciples do this. The idea, that, as we saw the last time, the idea simply is, "You're a rabbi. Don't you know this is not proper? How can you allow your own disciples to do what is improper on the Sabbath day?" In reply to this, the Lord Jesus cites an illustration from the Old Testament from the time of King David. He cites this example of when King David, before he was king, when he was fleeing from King Saul. Saul had a murderous hatred of David, and there were times that David had to flee from Saul's presence in order to avoid being killed. And so he has gathered a band of men with him. They have fled from Saul, and they are in the wilderness. And during this time, they become hungry. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 21 that as David has fled, he and his men become hungry. There is no food available. And so they go to the tabernacle and they seek the bread that is only permissible for priests to eat, the consecrated bread, the holy bread that is there. And David is allowed by the high priest to take some of this bread for his men, provided, as the priest says to him, that these men are consecrated, that they are holy. Now, the high priest in that day was actually Ahimelech. Ahimelech was the father of Abiathar, and then there was another Ahimelech that came along a little bit later than that. Some people have looked at this and they've said, well, Jesus was mistaken. No, he's not. What he's doing here most likely is he is saying, turn to that passage in the scroll of Samuel where we read of the time of Abiathar, because Abiathar was the primary high priest that was recognized in those days, while technically it was his father who actually was the priest during this incident. He's in chapter 21, and then in chapter 22 we read about about Abiathar being the high priest. And so Jesus is talking about this particular passage in Scripture. Now, the idea that's going on here is that David and his men are allowed to eat the consecrated bread, even though it has been designated as being only accessible by the priesthood. Jesus uses this as an illustration of the action of David because he knows how highly these Pharisees and the scribes regarded David, the king. They looked at King David. They revered King David. And so Jesus uses this illustration of King David. And the reason he's doing that is because what he is preaching and what he has been preaching is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the fulfillment of all that King David actually was the forerunner of. And so David in the Old Testament gives us the example of what the king, the true king who would come, would be. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that king. And so he mentions this. He wants them to see that he is king in the new kingdom, the kingdom of God, and that he is sovereign over all of his kingdom, even over everything that happens within that kingdom, even over the observance of the Sabbath day. And so he is using this illustration to silence his critics on this matter. Now, the principle that's in play here is that it is proper to do works of necessity on the Lord's day, and that itself does not break the Sabbath. And so Jesus elsewhere is going to use the ox in the ditch illustration to indicate the same teaching, something that must be done on the Sabbath day. If your animal falls into a ditch and can't get out, you don't wait until the next day to get it out. You go to the rescue, you bring that animal up out of the ditch, or you even feed your livestock on the Sabbath day, and that certainly is not a violation of the Sabbath. And so it's not sin at all. It is a duty that must be done, and it can be done for the glory of God without violation of the Sabbath. And so Jesus is explaining that to these Pharisees. And now the Lord Jesus applies it using two points. He drives this teaching about the Sabbath day home with two particular points. The first is that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. When did the Sabbath come about? Well, it doesn't just derive from the Ten Commandments in Moses' day. The Sabbath goes all the way back to creation. We read in the account in Genesis of God's making the earth that he created all things in 6 days, all very good, and then God himself rested on the seventh day, and that is the Sabbath day. And so God himself set the example of the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. It was instituted in the Garden of Eden. It was instituted prior to the fall of man, and therefore it is a creation ordinance that ought to be followed throughout all of time. Now, the major change between the day of the week that is celebrated is that that first Sabbath day was at the end of the old creation, and the new Sabbath day is the beginning of the new creation. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. And so from the time of Christ's resurrection on, we call this the Christian Sabbath, and we celebrate it, and we serve the Lord, we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. God instituted the Sabbath, as I mentioned earlier, as a delight for mankind. It was a time in which men could rest from their physical labor. This is something that all of us need. And turn their thoughts to the Lord and spend the time wholly in worshiping our God. And so the Sabbath day was designed to be a delight to help man with his physical rest that he was in need of, and to help man with spiritual rest, to come into the presence of God and to find spiritual refreshment and help during the week. And so the Sabbath was designed for that. That's what Jesus means when he says that the Sabbath was made for man, as both a physical time of rest and help, and especially a time of spiritual rest and help for mankind. It is not a burden, and yet the Pharisees have turned it into a great burden, a list of do's and don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. And there are even some Christians today who find themselves burdened, wondering, what can I do on the Sabbath day? But it's more in lines of what can't I do? And so we find that often Christians today are discussing, I can't do this and I can't do that, and they have reinstituted almost what the Pharisees had, which is a list of do's and don'ts. If I stay away from doing those things that are wrong on the Sabbath day, then I've kept it. Well, no, it's a delight. You only keep the Sabbath day when you delight in the Lord, when you worship the Lord, when you come into His presence, and you desire to bring honor and glory to Him. That's what it's designed to do, not to be something that you are afraid of, that you're afraid that you will violate some rule or regulation made by man. And so it is not to be a burden. It is to be a delight. It is a joy. It is a time of spiritual and physical rest. And that's what Jesus says, and that's what He means when He says the Sabbath was made for man. The second point that He makes is that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, we saw last time that the term Son of Man is a term of deity. It's not to be contrasted with Son of God, meaning that He's God, and Son of Man, meaning that He's human, although He is both God and man fully. One person with two natures. That is absolutely true. The Scripture does teach that. But the term Son of Man is a term of deity. It derives from Daniel chapter 7, as we saw, where the Ancient of Days is seen in one of these night visions by Daniel, seated in heaven, and one like a Son of Man ascends to Him and is given authority and dominion and a kingdom that will never pass away. And therefore, because the Son of Man rules over this eternal kingdom, the Son of Man is Himself eternal. It refers to His deity. It refers to His equality with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. But it also means, as John tells us, that the Son created all things in John chapter 1. And therefore, He made the Sabbath day at the very beginning. And so as the creator of the Sabbath day at the beginning, Jesus, the Son of Man, has the authority to explain the purpose of the Sabbath day to men and give direction to us and to especially these Pharisees that He's talking to here. And so Jesus is the maker of the Sabbath day. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath day. He is the explainer of the truth of what the Sabbath day means. And He is explaining this truth to these Pharisees who have perverted the Sabbath day from being a help and being a delight into being a burden and a condemnation on all who disagreed with them and their strict rules. So Jesus' action and Jesus' explanation trump the Pharisees' legalism and their man-made rules. As we come to chapter 3, we see another confrontation on the Sabbath day. Here, Jesus enters a synagogue. We're not told exactly where this is. We assume this is the synagogue at Capernaum, the one where He had cast the demon out of the demon-possessed man who was there. In any case, whether it's Capernaum or someplace else in Galilee, Jesus is in the synagogue, obviously on the Sabbath day, and there is a man there who has a withered hand. We're not told in Scripture whether this was an injury, whether it was a birth defect, whether it was some type of stroke that this man had had. We don't know what caused the withered hand, but he was unable to use his hand. And we're told at this particular place that the Pharisees know this fellow is there, they know Jesus is there, and they are hoping that Jesus will violate the Sabbath and heal this man on the Sabbath so that they will have something to accuse him. And so this particular day is a day in which Jesus has a target on His back as far as the Pharisees are concerned. They are not thinking, what a wonderful thing it would be for the Lord to heal this man on the Sabbath day. What they're thinking is, boy, we've got him now. All he has to do is heal this man on the Sabbath, and we can prove that he is a Sabbath breaker. And so just imagine that as the scene. Rather than joy, rather than delight, rather than hoping in the grace and the mercy of Almighty God to be shown to this individual, they are hoping beyond hope that Jesus will do something to heal this man so they can get him. It's a gotcha situation. The Pharisees seem to be inflicted with what could only be called Jesus derangement syndrome. Everywhere He goes and everything He does, they interpret in the wrong way. And so Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, stand up and come here. And the man does. And so everybody is waiting to see what will happen. But what does happen is Jesus asks the question of the Pharisees. And the question is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? And a follow-up question, to save a life or to kill? Those two things go together. That's the question. And they don't answer. They have wanted this confrontation. It has been brought into their presence. And Jesus has seen the wickedness of their intention, wickedness of their thoughts. Mark doesn't tell us here, but he has told us before that Jesus is able to see men's hearts. He's able to see our desires, our inmost thoughts. And he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only thing that these Pharisees are hoping is that he will do something that they can then term a violation of the Sabbath day so that they can get him. And so he asks this question of them, and they keep silent. Is it lawful? Is it right? What's the proper thing to do here? Is it right to do good? Is it right to do harm? Is it right to save a life? Is it right to take a life? And that's the question that he puts before them. The answer ought to be obvious. But the Pharisees, as I said, because of their Jesus derangement syndrome, cannot see past their hatred of the Lord. They cannot bring themselves to give the proper answer to this question that they ought to know the answer to. They want him dead. They are plotting to kill him in their own minds. And so this question about doing good or doing harm or saving a life or killing is actually going on within them at that moment. And they've come to the conclusion, as we see later on, they're going to kill him. They want him dead. And so they're plotting to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when he asks this question, lips are silent. They say nothing. The answer is obvious. The answer is scriptural. In the parallel passage to this in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, Jesus uses the illustration at this point of a sheep falling into a pit on the Sabbath day and how it is proper to rescue that animal to bring it out. And in a similar passage, not the same thing, not a parallel, but a similar passage in Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ heals a woman on the Sabbath day who has, as he says, been bound by Satan in a contorted position for 18 long years. She's been bent over double. And Jesus says that this was an act of the devil. And he sets her free on the Sabbath day. And he basically says to the Pharisees at that time, wouldn't you untie your donkey or your ox and lead it to water on the Sabbath day? Then why is it not proper for me to untie this woman who has been bound by the devil for 18 years on the Sabbath day? Because people are of greater value than oxen. And so over and over again in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ confronts the Pharisees on this very issue. He is always stating that doing good and that healing on the Sabbath are not sins, but are indeed acts of duty or acts of mercy. And this is certainly an act of mercy here. If you would do it for a dumb animal, how much more should you do it for a human being who is created in the image of God? And so the Pharisees have no answer for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are hard-hearted. They are in rebellion against God. They want this man gone because his actions and his teaching condemn them. And so Jesus sees their hearts. He sees this hard-heartedness, this stony heart of rebellion against God. And Jesus at this point gets upset. He is angry. He is angry at their sin. He is angry at the stubbornness and the rebellion of their hearts against Almighty God and against His Word. He is angry at the callous spirit of these folks who don't consider a sick person to be worthy of being healed on the Sabbath day. He is angry at their own smug self-righteousness and their refusal to answer Him. He is grieved over the hardness of heart in this matter. They think they're right. They think there's no reason to discuss this. After all, they know the truth. There's no way that anybody could ever convince them otherwise. There's no reason to give any consideration to anything other than their position. And so they refuse to even think that they could possibly be wrong in this matter. And in their wrongness, that they might themselves be sinning against God on the Sabbath day. And Jesus simply says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he performs that miracle. As the man stretches out this withered hand, that hand is made totally whole and well. His hand is restored to usefulness. We've seen that in the healings that Jesus does. He often restores a person to usefulness in the kingdom of God. And so he has restored this man's hand to usefulness that he might serve the Lord. And he does this on the Sabbath day. This should have been a time of great rejoicing, a cause of great rejoicing on the part of everybody at the synagogue. But it's not for the Pharisees. The principle that we need to take away from all of this, of course, is that it is indeed proper for us to do works of mercy on the Lord's day. And this does not break the Sabbath. And so it's proper for us as believers in Jesus Christ to visit the sick or those who are shut in and unable to come to church. It is proper for you to take a meal to a widow who is unable to come because of age or infirmity. It is proper for you to drive an injured person to the hospital. Any of those types of things. And many, many other things are valid expressions of the duty that we have to show mercy to those who are in need on the Lord's day. Such things do not destroy the Sabbath, but rather they establish the Sabbath as being under the authority and the control of God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Pharisees do is indicative of what they do throughout the rest of the New Testament in their confrontation with Jesus. The Bible says the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring together with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Now, we're introduced to the Herodians very briefly here, and we've seen the Herodians as we looked at other passages of Scripture. These were folks who were of the royal family, the family of Herod. And you'll remember that Herod and all of his relatives were basically a gang of thieves. These folks had political power. They were not so much interested in spirituality at all, but they were interested in maintaining control over the people. And so anything that furthered their control and anything that prevented them losing control, they were in favor of. And so here the Herodians conspire with the Pharisees, two groups coming together from two completely different ends, the political end of the spectrum and this legalistic end of the spectrum, conspire together because Jesus is a threat to both groups. They began to plot his destruction. Now notice that it says they immediately go out and do this, and so immediately they go out and do what Jesus said, are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to kill on the Sabbath day? They begin to plot his death on the Sabbath day. They immediately violate the Sabbath, and yet they are so smug in their self-righteousness that they don't consider this to be a violation or a sin against God at all. They want to destroy him. Now, the sin of plotting to kill somebody would be a sin any day of the week. It is especially heinous on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a day of delight in the Lord. It's a time in which worship is to be given to God, and we are to worship Him wholeheartedly. And yet the Pharisees have turned against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh. They are plotting to kill Him. They are in direct violation of what the Word of God teaches regarding this. So instead of doing good to others, they want to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you celebrate the Christian Sabbath if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you consider the Sabbath to be a delight? Do you consider it to be a time of joy and a time of celebration? That's what it's designed to be. It is to be a time in which, while you do turn your foot from going your own way, as Scripture says, it is still a time to do what is right in the sight of God on the Lord's day, a time to take delight in Him. And so, do you do works of a duty, of necessity on the Lord's day? They're proper, as Jesus expounds that here. Do you do works of mercy on the Lord's day? That would include sharing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ with others on that day. That would include doing merciful things that help people who are in need of your help on that day. Remember, the Sabbath day was established by God for the help of men. It is for our delight. That's what it exists for. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and therefore, when He tells us things about the Sabbath day, His understanding and His explanation trumps misunderstandings left, right, and center. He gives us the proper understanding of what the Sabbath is to be. He reveals to us what it was intended from the very beginning in the garden prior to the fall, what it continues to be for sinful fallen man, how we are to take delight in the Lord, and especially it's a time for those who are apart from Christ to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Sabbath is especially a delight when we see the Lord open cold, dead, stony hearts and give faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to His elect. And so it's a time when the gospel ought to be proclaimed. It's a time in which Christians ought to worship. It's a time in which we ought to share that gospel with others and call them to turn from sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that a sinner can truly delight in the Sabbath day. The Lord is Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And therefore, we are called upon as His people to worship God on the Sabbath day and to engage in acts of necessity and mercy through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day, because the Lord Jesus has provided for our greatest need. He has given Himself for us, that we might indeed be redeemed by His shed blood and by His perfect righteousness and holiness. And so delight in this day. It is the Christian Sabbath. Delight in the worship of Almighty God. Delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell others of your great Savior. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, how we thank You for the Sabbath day. Indeed, it is a delight for us who are in Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we might understand truly what the Sabbath day is for, that it might be for us a time of worship, a time of celebration, a time of joy, a time of delight, and it also might be a time in which we seek to meet the needs of those lost sinners who are apart from Christ by spreading the gospel to them, and a time of helping in mercy those who are in need in some way. And so, Lord, please instruct us in the proper understanding of the Sabbath and enable us by the Holy Spirit and by Your power and by Your grace to follow what You have set for us in Scripture and call that Sabbath a delight. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.